This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. With Valentine's Day coming up, who better to talk to than John and Julie Gottman? They've been doing groundbreaking work for decades on how relationships work and how they can work better. John Gottman is a professor emeritus of psychology at the University of Washington, where he founded the Love Lab. There he studied how couples talked and measured their physiology while they talked. Together, John and Julie Schwartz Gottman do workshops on the art and science of love, and it's a great pleasure to have you here.
Thanks, Ross. Great to be here.
Well, what do you think about Valentine's Day as the day to demonstrate how much you care about your partner?
I think it's a good idea. I think it's good to have a special day. I didn't think much of it when Julie and I first got married. And I remember Valentine's Day rolled around the first year we were married. And she said, "What did you get me for Valentine's Day?" And I said, "It's Valentine's Day?" And then after that, we started a tradition of going out to dinner together and, you know, really making some special time for our relationship. And we've done that ever since.
Mm-hmm. I remember probably one of the most special Valentine's Days that John and I had. I was so moved. We went out to a pretty nice restaurant, great dinner, delicious, having a nice talk. And John pulls out this little piece of paper. And on the little piece of paper, he'd written a poem. And it was a poem to my eyes, which I think are like, you know, they're mediocre eyes. They're not great eyes. But
they're not bad eyes.
They're okay. They work.
I love them.
And it was the most beautiful poem. And as I heard it, I teared up. As he read it, he teared up. So we're sitting there crying at the table. And people are looking at us like, geez, you know, is something terrible? What's wrong? But we were so happy. You know, it was really tears of joy.
That's a great moment. Does it have to be on Valentine's Day? I mean, there's a lot of pressure on Valentine's Day. It's a commercial holiday.
Right.
It's a greeting card holiday. It's a roses holiday. It's a candy holiday. So there seems to be a lot of pressure on. And people might feel pressurized to do something where they don't really feel the emotion. Is there something wrong in your relationship if you're not excited about Valentine's Day?
I don't think there's anything wrong, really. You're right. There is a lot of pressure on Valentine's Day. And the kind of celebration of love that we're talking about on Valentine's Day is something that really we should do from time to time in our relationship frequently, not just once a year. But with that said, there's something very special about a ritual of connection. That's what this is. And so if we address it as almost like a Christmas holiday or an annual celebration, New Year's, of our relationship, then the pressure isn't so much to perform. You don't have to perform in some particular way, but instead just acknowledging how much your partner means to you and how special that is for you.
John, what are some ideas about getting the good Valentine's Day feeling into all the rest of the days of the year?
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about, and you know, getting ready for this interview, is that every couple that I see in couples therapy has left one another in pain for a long time and just gone on with their busy lives. And I think that what people really need to communicate to their partner is that when their partner is uncomfortable or angry or sad or lonely or disappointed or hurt or anxious, that you really want to be able to say, you know, "Talk to me, baby. I'm listening. The world stops when you're upset and I listen." And it's a great idea to celebrate that sort of motto in your relationship, the idea that you have your partner's ears, at least, you know, for that one moment. And, you know, I think it's a general rule that, you know, could be celebrated at Valentine's Day. It could become a ritual, a tradition in a relationship to do that. But I think you're absolutely right. It'd be great to do that all through the year.
There are, of course, troubled relationships, and you deal with a lot of those. But how about the relationships that are going okay? What's your recommendation to kind of keep complacency from settling in?
We have a couple of things that we really suggest to couples. One of them is to ask each other open-ended questions. And as most of us know, open-ended questions are questions that have a whole story as an answer, a whole paragraph for an answer. And the reality is that even though our relationship may feel the same over the years, the reality is that each person is evolving and changing over time, each individual. So in order to really update who is our partner, who is this person, and how are they changing, sitting and asking each other really good questions like, you know, we're about to have our third kid. So what characteristics would you like our child to inherit from each of us? Questions like that really bring to light how each person is growing, is evolving, is morphing into a broader human being. And it's wonderful to touch into each other's souls with questions like that.
You know, it's the same kind of advice we've been getting about doing interviewing, is the value of the open-ended question. And why is an open-ended question as opposed to a more directed question a better way to kind of start a conversation like that?
Well, it's a great way of opening the heart. It's an invitation instead of a statement, which is like, you know, take this. So if you say to your partner, so how would you like our life to change in the next 3 to 5 years? What adventures would you like to have that you haven't had yet? What's your bucket list? And you ask those kind of questions, they really open people up. And we actually suggest that people think about these kinds of questions before they go out on their weekly date so that they're updating their knowledge of their partner. We have a tradition that we're really proud of, which is we call it our annual honeymoon. So we've gone to – this will be the 15th year that we'll go to the same bed and breakfast, rent the same room, bring our kayaks, and spend a week just talking to each other. Even though we work together and live together, that week we really do find out about things we haven't known all through the year. And I think those open-ended questions really go a long way to really exploring your partner's inner world and being accepting about it, you know, being interested and curious about your partner.
Mm-hmm. You talked about asking open-ended questions. How do you encourage your partner to answer those?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. By looking as if you want to hear the answer. You know, for example, you can ask something like, well, all right, you know, what do you want to do in the coming year? Or you can ask, honey, what are your dreams about what you want to do for the coming year? Huge difference in the tone of voice, in looking at the person, in the openness of your body. In other words, the question has to be sincere. You have to really want to know the answer. And if you approach the question with that kind of sincerity, your partner will pick that up and may feel more comfortable responding to the question. At the same time, as your partner responds, you don't want to interrupt your partner. You don't want to say, oh, you don't really think that, do you? Instead, you want to just listen.
Shut up and listen.
Shut up and listen and remember the answer.
Mm-hmm. You're in a particular situation where you're working together
right.
and you're married. But a lot of people have kind of workplace and home kind of connections like that. What's your advice on kind of sorting those out and making sure that they don't collide?
Mm. Well, you know, I think for a while what John and I did that really was helpful is we would put a time limit on how much time we would talk about work. Because we found that our work, which we both love so much, was consuming every minute of our conversation. So typically, we would talk about work maybe first upon coming home and having dinner. But then after dinner, one of us would go, okay, that's enough. No more. I would give John the hand, meaning I would hold up my hand, which said, no, I don't want to talk about research questions. Poor baby, I know. He felt terrible. I don't want to talk about stats, statistics anymore. Nope. It can be about feelings. It can be about people. It can be anything else other than research design. So please. And then he would acquiesce and all would be well.
You know, I love that idea of setting limits, but does it ever run into, honey, I got you got 12 minutes and you're cutting me off at 8. Huh?
Well, flexibility is a good thing in every marriage, but not
another thing that's very important that research has shown to be very important is to be your partner's ally in supporting your partner's goals that are completely independent of the relationship or the family, personal goals. And Tom Bradbury at UCLA has found that couples who can listen to what, you know, what their partner wants for their own life, independent of the relationship, you know, maybe get in shape, you know, lose weight, maybe, you know, travel to someplace. Julie's planning a trip to Machu Picchu, which I'm not going to be part of, you know, just to listen to what is really important to her about it and to understand, you know, why this is such an important adventure for her is something I can do. And so that being your partner's friend in their own growth and development, independent of you, turns out to be very important.
How do you tease apart what you've learned about your own relationship, which is between two very individuals, and not kind of overlay that on your scientific work? How do you make sure to keep the two separate?
You know, they're not separate. And here's why. Because John and I are in exactly the same soup as everyone else, which means we have horrible fights. We get critical of each other. We can even get contemptuous of each other. We get ridiculously defensive. And then we get the opportunity to say, you know, you're being incredibly defensive right now. You're calling yourself a marriage expert. Ha, ha, ha. So as a result, you know, what we're finding is that what we have discovered in the research applies to us too. And just like everybody else, we have to take lessons from that research and those master couples out there who really demonstrated the strengths of maintaining relationship. We have to apply those to our own life and remind ourselves of doing that over and over again, just like everyone else.
Yeah, it's a good point. And in fact, in our Art and Science of Love weekend workshop, the second day, which is about conflict, we actually process a real fight that we've had. And we've been doing this 5 times a year for 18 years, and we're never at a loss for one of these arguments.
Really?
And we try to show people, hey, we are in the same soup as you. We're using the same tools, and we're not above you. Just because we've done research in this area doesn't mean that we can't, we're free of having to work on our relationship. We really have to work.
Are any arguments you have open to bring to the class that way, or are some sort of, we're not going to talk about that one?
There are some that we keep private.
Here and there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, I have to ask you what you two are doing for Valentine's Day. And Julia, if we have to get Julia to cover her ears and close her eyes, we can do that. John, you can just tell us.
We have a workshop the following day, which means we have to have a nice early evening. What do you think, sweetie?
Well, probably we should do that writing something to each other.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
That's really terrific.
I like that.
Should we do that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
John and Julie Gottman, they do workshops on the art and science of love. You can hear our conversation at KUOW.org. And speaking of love, Marcy, last night, the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' appearance on Ed Sullivan. What's your favorite Beatles love song?
All You Need Is Love. That was easy.
And the Beatles were all about love.
She loves.